Today on 4CA. John McKenzie. 1-300-872-911.
All right, I want to go to this matter because this is front and centre in the minds of so many victims and potential victims, which is all of us across this city of ours, with this explosion of juvenile crime, kiddie crime. The most ghastly crimes are being committed in big numbers by children, fundamentally. These were crimes that used to be only committed by adults and the worst of adults. And now what's happening? Well, the kids not only are committing them in very significant and growing numbers, it would seem, but nothing being done effectively about it. Why? Because of the constraints of our juvenile justice system. This is the revolving door or unlimited cautions syndrome, and it's getting to us all. I mean, there are so many victims now, and some of the damage being done. Look at the torching of cars. I look at this and think, what the hell? Why would they want to torch the car after they probably trashed it anyway or throw it in the river? I mean, there's victims everywhere. Anyway, let me go to this story firstly. It says here in this article by Grace Mason, new legislation based on laws designed to target terrorists is on the police drawing board in a bid to tackle juvenile criminals flouting their exploits on social media. A senior Cairns police officer has revealed youth crime is spiralling in both Cairns and Townsville, with new figures showing 150 juveniles have been charged by Cairns property crime officers in just the past 5 weeks. It's bizarre, you know, when you talk to the police officers, off the microphone, of course, and they tell you, oh, yeah, we know who they are. It's the same all the time. Why? Because of the revolving door process. It is an insult. It's an affront to every law-abiding citizen in this state. But it goes on, and our political representatives look the other way. And they expect us to turn the other cheek seriously. If they're not going to give us an answer to this madness in our midst, don't vote for them. Do anything but reward them with your vote at the next opportunity. They're a disgrace. And here we go again. It's happening now in the southeast corner. This is this madness about the criminal age of response. Here we go. This is the debate on in Labor now. The initial proposal included in Queensland's Labor draft platform, which reads that the party would increase the age of criminal responsibility from 10 to 14. I mean, the police can do very little now. I mean, at this stage, if it's going to be criminal responsibility going from 10 to 14, they won't even be able to ask them questions about their crimes. And, of course, the excuse is, oh, we've got to be in line with international best practice. Guess where all this ratbaggery is coming from? The southeast corner. They don't know what we're enduring out here. They don't know the madness. They don't know the envy that these people feel for people who get a job and actually do it. They don't know the hatred that exists that's funneled from their parents to them. We have an ongoing nightmare on our hands. And we've got these people making decisions on our behalf in the southeast corner, haven't got a clue. But it makes them feel good. They're virtue signalers. We've got Mark Elwood on the line now. Mark's been on this program before, area coordinator with Palm Cove Group Neighbourhood Watch and a former Victorian police officer. Mark, good morning and thanks for joining me.
No worries, John. Thanks so much for inviting me on, and look forward to having a discussion. I just, hearing what you're saying, well and truly, it was July 13, 2013, I first voiced an opinion on your show, and that was over what I believe needs to happen now. 8 years ago, nothing's happened. Yeah. In 8 years, nothing's happened. A multi-agency issue to address this problem with kids. But anyway, shoot away now. What do you want me to address first?
Well, the first one came, well, was this Kent's Post? When was this last Thursday?
Yes.
Now, Grace Mason wrote, new legislation based on laws designed to target terrorists is on the police drawing board in a bid to tackle juvenile criminals flouting their exploits on social media. Yeah. The first time I saw this, I thought, how dare they? And then I thought, well, there's nothing to stop them. They're virtually encouraged to do this and brag about
course.
It. Because there's no fundamental penalties. There's no disincentive.
No, well, see, the social media platforms have to take some responsibility for this. You know, like, it's surely, for God, this is just a pure common sense issue. You know, legislation, whatever, band-aiding, I call it, just putting something there to stop the problem isn't addressing the cause and effect. We have to address the cause and effect. Legislation, as I'm now led to believe, looks like it's off the drawing board. But having said that, we still haven't addressed the cause, which are the kids. The kids are the ones that are doing these jobs, you're right. And the kids are the ones that are getting away with it, you're right. Your kids aren't being held accountable, you're dead right. Youth crime is not going to go away, my friend, and we have to do something about it. And posting is purely the effect, you know, it's just what happens. It's a follow-on. And these kids draw attention to themselves with it. And personally, as I said to Grace Mason last week, I think it's very much, it's almost tantamount to a criminal conspiracy without having to go to additional legislation. And that's well and truly covered. Kids from different towns conspiring to post after an offence is committed. Prior to the offence being committed, the conspiracy takes place. Well, that's criminal conspiracy. You know, it is what it is. We are going around and around and around. We have this mindset as a community and as a government or authorities have this mindset that we need the crime and punishment model. The crime and punishment model is obsolete. It's been obsolete for years. The back-end approach to this is not the way to address it. We're going to have to put money and resources up front and do something about these kids. Because if we don't, we're going to have a problem here that is major, and I mean major, welfare and social problem that is not going to be healed easily. Well, it's not going to be healed easily now, but we've got to do something about it.
Let me ask you about this other matter too, and here's from, this is from today's Courier Mail, lively scenes that threaten to erupt on the floor of Parliament over demands for the Palaszczuk government to raise the criminal age of responsibility from 10 to 14, failed to materialise with the Queensland Indigenous Labor Network winning its bid to amend Labor policy to support such a move. Now, it goes on to say ministers who addressed the room to state the government had no plans to change the age outside of a national approach were equally jeered and applauded. Where is this push coming from? Do you know this push to put the age of responsibility from 10 up to 14? This is lunacy.
See, let's look at actually what they're trying to do. In Victoria, when I was operating there 20 years ago, and people will poo-bar that and say, well, he's referring to stuff that, you know, is 20-odd years down the track. Well, no. Nothing changes. Nothing has changed. The point is mens rea, as it's called, it's criminal responsibility at the age that a person, child, they're all under the age of 17, but the age that a child knows right from wrong. Mens rea, that's the old Latin term, the old Latin legal term. Every judge refers to it. Every judge has to be satisfied that mens rea exists before he convicts or in any way hands out any punishment or penalty in regard to an offence. So, mens rea, let's address it. In Victoria, when I was there, it was 8. The mens rea, or age of criminal responsibility for a child, was 8 years of age. But prior to 8 years of age, the child wasn't deemed criminally responsible. Yes. Or, in other words, wasn't deemed to have sufficient knowledge of what he or she did to make it amount to a criminal offence. So what they've actually done now, in Queensland, it's gone to 10, or it is has been 10, or, and you'll know better than I, because I'm only Johnny-come-lately here. But now the talk of 14, a kid when he hits double figures, and by that I mean 10 years of age plus, knows well and truly the difference between right and wrong.
Right.
Now, I don't care who the kid is or where the kids come from. He or she knows. He or she chooses to do wrong. And that's as simple as that. Everybody knows the difference between right and wrong. Certainly a 10-year-old child does. And 14, to raise it to 14 is just absurd, because that's right slap bang in the middle of the ballpark that we're talking about with these kids with these car offences.
Thank you, exactly.
So you have to have that addressed. That kid has to have been held responsible for his or her actions well and truly before 14. Because at 14, your chances of bringing them back from the dark side, if you want to put it that way, is almost zip. The kid's done. The kid's through. He's well and truly gone. But we need, seriously, the police force here in Queensland have a brilliant system. It's called Project Booyah, and you're probably aware of it.
Yes.
Now, Booyah was started up purely to get target kids that were salvageable, put it that way. And it's a terrible word to use for a child, isn't it? But that's exactly what we're looking at, the kids that can be brought back, the kids that we can save. Yeah. Some have gone through. Some are going to spend the most of their life in jails, yes, or institutions. Mm. But this, some of these kids are actually salvageable. And Booyah did that. And their cohorts work in a group of 6 to 8 to 10, how many they can take. Yeah. And they work with the police for a period of time that gives them an interest and gives them a qualification, gives them something that they can turn and point their life toward, teaches them something. Now, these are things that we're going to have to look at, because leaving kids in detention centres or giving it back or blaming the judges, and the judges are working under rules they've been given too. The judges have to take into account time already served. Now, if you've got a kid in detention on remand for months, or bail refused, or whatever the case may be, they're left there until they come up to the court. And when they come up to the court, although they're found guilty, the judge really is left with not much alternative, because the direction he has is that he will take into account the time already served. And sometimes these kids are there for 12 or 18 months. So you have to understand, mate, that detention, bad habits are learnt, I'm sure you do. You can't put a kid in detention and expect him not to learn bad habits. Of course he's going to. And, you know, the other thing is we have to look at this, where we're putting our money, where we're putting our resources. We keep bringing more and more police into this. And really, it's not just the police's problem. The issue has to be addressed by a holistic government and community approach. We need everybody on board, absolutely everybody. And I believe Miss Carroll, the current commissioner in Queensland, is trying to address that. But this takes time. But hang on, I've just said to you, 8 years you and I have been yakking about things like this and nothing's changed.
You know, you've made a very good point about these kids, 12 and 13 years of age. They're getting behind the wheels of cars.
Of course.
Absolute death trap. But it's only a matter of time. And there was a lady with a little baby just barely survived last week. I think there were eight kids in the car, for God's sake. That's and right. I bet everyone was straight out of the juvenile court. Can I just bring this one matter up too? This was Cairns North last Thursday night, and people came to see me about this one. And this was where every second house, I think it was, along the street was invaded, with people, generally speaking, asleep or away, houses trashed. They left their, what are they called, the tags on the houses as well, because they're proud of this sort of existence. Now, this family apparently had just recently moved into that area. They got into the last house, got the car key. One of the young kids, reported to be a small boy, got behind the wheel, threw it into reverse out the front driveway, in reverse at fast speed, and smashed into two cars on the other side of the street. Three cars trashed. Now, of course, there's been a meeting there, and they've asked the local police officer, please, what are we going to do? And the police officer, along the lines of, was, well, look, there's nothing really effective we can do about it. Sorry about that. So what's happened then? The conversation goes to baseball bats. And you can understand why, because of the violation, particularly mums with the three kids asleep in that house, feel, and how fearful they are of yet another incursion, given that nothing effective can be done. Was it their age, or was it other matters? I don't know, but this is outrageous.
Well, let's see, what you've just mentioned there is a very, very good point. The base of everything, of a civilised community, is to be that people have the basics. Now, Abraham Maslow had a theory in regards to the hierarchy of needs, what people actually need. And at the bottom of that, that actually underpinned everything, was the feeling they have to feel safe and secure. Mm. They have to be safe and secure in their environment. If they're not safe and secure in the environment, everything goes out the window. And one particular need has to be fulfilled before anything else is fulfilled. Now, these are basic, laws, I suppose, or theories that have been tried and true, and every time they come up trumps. People today, the number one thing, if you look at what's happening in the community, people don't feel safe.
Yes.
They don't feel safe there. They don't feel safe that they're not going to, their homes aren't going to be, broken into. Their car and car keys are going to be taken. Money and things that they value are going to be taken. Their feelings aren't vindicated. There is nothing the criminal system or criminal justice system is doing now to make them feel any safer or to vindicate the situation that exists. They're getting away, these kids are getting away with it time and time again. And the reason the kids keep reoffending, of course, is because they don't know any better.
Yeah.
They really don't. They've never been shown.
Yeah.
They've had no parenting, per se, as you and I probably knew it. They just left to their own devices, week in, week out.
Yeah.
And this is why they're coming up all the time. This is why the courts are seeing them and the police are having contact with them.
Yeah.
You know, it really is a very, very poor situation.
Yeah,
and unless something's done, as I say, a government and a whole holistic community approach is taken, we're in serious trouble.
Yeah. As always, you've spoken very powerfully on this matter, Mark. Thank you.
You're very welcome, John. I hope everything goes well for you, my friend. Been a while since I had a yak to you. But
won't be a while next time. Good on you, Mark. Mark Elwood, the Area Coordinator, Palm Cove Group Neighbourhood Watch and a former Victorian police officer.